Well, I was gonna use sign language for the episode, for the list, for the viewers, but then I realized our listeners would be confused eventually by Brian using fake sign language. I joined a sign language class, and I went for one class, and I realized this is going to be hard, and I didn't go back.
What?
When was that?
1993.
Oh.
No, maybe 1994. 1994.
My first wife and I started studying sign language together, and then we got divorced, and now she's a licensed sign language interpreter, and I know nothing. She took the sign language class with her.
I went there with Jeremy Barch at MATC.
Yeah.
You were in the Army.
I was.
You were in the Army, and we learned that. We went there. We both went to one class, this is amazing, and never went back.
It's interesting, because Jeremy's wife uses sign language, because her, I believe, Monique's twin is deaf, I believe.
Oh. The twin only she sees, which is the weird part.
Yes.
My uncle's a priest at a deaf parish,
which is kind of cool. Non-Euclidean Nick wants Andy to check his cable connections.
All right, what cable connections?
While Andy's checking the cables, I have to tell a story. I almost murdered a child today. Not as a joke, just as an actual murder. I was driving through Verona because I came into town early looking for Pokemon. And I'm up by the park, and I'm driving down the street, and these two kids are on my side of the lane coming at me, and they're laughing, and they're basically like, they're like 10 to 12 years old, like, well, we're gonna like make this car swerve, and they're like, and I'm like, not gonna swerve. So they swerve and they laugh, and I'm like, man, if they would have tried to go forward, I honestly, God, would have hit them. I'm like, I know the ratio of laws, how laws work with people on bikes. Bikes never. I know people who got murdered. I know a fiance of someone I grew up with in high school's fiance was killed by a drunk driver. The drunk driver got in no trouble. He fled from the scene,
yeah,
and got in no trouble because the guy was on a bike. You can do anything to a person on a bike. The laws are always on your side, regardless of scenario. And these guys were on my lane coming at me. So I was like, it's like clear. I would have, after I hit them, I would have slammed on the brakes to show that there were skid marks.
Yeah.
But I would have made sure I was planning this all out of my head, how I'm going to kill these child. I was, after the fact, I was a little disturbed. I was almost disturbed, like, nope, that was acceptable.
Yeah, no, that's acceptable.
So it was a weird little moment.
When you have a chance to kill children, you go for it. Andy's apparently having audio problems.
I'm not. It's basically this fucking stream won't actually play.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. But we're still recording our audio, so
yeah, audio's we can going
continue
fine.
With that. Oh, yeah. My name's Nathan.
And you tried to do almost murder anyone?
You guys,
I didn't kill anyone.
The guy leaving's Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jeff. But no, I didn't. No, I did not almost murder somebody today.
All right.
Most days I do. That's why I had to think about it, but not today.
It was
today.
Kind of a slow motion murder because they were coming at me, and I'm like, it's kind of like Deadpool when he was like chasing the guy with Zamboni, because you know, there was time for me to analyze the situation. Go, yep, this kid's going to die, but then he just turned, and I was like, well, all right, he's fine.
I did watch like 5 episodes of Doctor Who.
Nice. So you're what, 8 in? 7? 6, 7 in?
7 in now. Yeah, I just finished the Maisie Williams 2-parter.
Okay.
So there's that. Next up is Zygons.
Ooh.
I like the thing about that season, like, is most of that season are 2-parters. It's constantly this nice little chunky stories that throughout the entire season. It's like a mini things going on in the show.
And that's good, because I like 2-parters, because you get more story there.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was looking at like the episode titles, and I'm like, yep, these are all 2-parters, because you could see how the names all were grouped together and made sense as duos.
Yeah. It's great when you're streaming and watching those back-to-back, though. Otherwise, 2-parters are just infuriating.
Oh, yeah, when you're watching week after week, and there's a couple.
Well, especially if you've gotten some obligation where you can't watch the second half of it, you know?
Well, in fairness, the Maisie Williams 2-parter didn't have to be one. They could have been a season and a half apart. They introduced a character, and then they just had her again the next episode.
Uh-huh. But a lot of those two-parters were very, Jeff's. I mean, because sometimes it's like when you watch Breaking Bad, you have to wait week after week for the next continuation.
Week?
You're like,
week?
Well, or, you know,
or a fucking year to watch somebody wipe their ass and get out of the bathroom.
Yeah. You just want to just scream at the world. But that's the one. If you can get to the DVD stage or the Blu-ray stage and not get spoiled, or not care about spoilers either way, it's really an enjoyable way to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a handful of shows I can't watch live TV. Just the format doesn't
matter now, Andy.
Yeah, the format just doesn't mesh up in a way like where, like, yes, I can stomach this.
Yep.
Like, Heroes was that way. Like, watching that on TV, I don't think I could have followed.
Yeah. Some shows I watch live because I literally have a lot of... I watch a show, then, like, tomorrow I'm going to have multiple conversations on the Preacher finale at work. So if I need to watch it because I'm having these conversations whether I watch it or not tonight. So I need to be... there for it.
Well, it's like Game of Thrones. You couldn't wait and then marathon Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I'm confused. People said it was better, but Andy's still unplugging things.
He's just throwing stuff. It's okay.
He's just unplugging the world. Hi, Travis.
The man's a machine.
It's Travis's birthday today.
Him and Dan are both 29.
It's weird because Facebook told me about Dan's birthday and two other random people who I honestly have no idea who they are, but it didn't mention Travis.
Mine didn't either. It just told me about Dan. It was really weird. It was like, Dan's got a birthday, not Travis, though.
Maybe Travis's birthday isn't in his Facebook profile. Happy birthday, Travis. We got you the rules for him. The gift that keeps on giving.
Forever. And that's the podcast.
Announcements.
Announcements.
Gen Con's a thing.
Well, there's Gen Con this weekend, which you're not going this time? You are going.
I am not going this time.
Jeff's not going. You never go, right, Jeff?
Although, once again, somebody's like, I have an extra pass. So if I wasn't working, I probably could have found a floor to sleep on and made it, but I'm not.
And you'll be there the entire weekend. I'll be there on Saturday. I'll be there technically Friday night, but I'm not going to be really around. And we'll be near the butt crack of dawn on Sunday.
Sure.
So, but I'll have a good solid day. I'm getting to the point now where driving 6 hours or somewhere is just like a casual. It's like a casual jaunt now. Like I've been going. I went to Iowa a month or a half ago. Got St. Louis coming up, and I don't know. It's like 6 hours. Just like a whatever.
Sure.
Just leave a little early. The Friday, and as long as you leave early on Sunday, you can still reclaim your Sunday even, which is the key.
I have to figure out that I'm like for the next 2 months, I don't get like a day off, so to speak, because every day I'm doing something for my weekends. I'm just all booked because this weekend I work, and then the weekend after that, we're going to go to the state fair. And then the weekend after that, I work. And then the weekend after that, I'm flying out to Virginia. And then the weekend after that, I work. And then the weekend after that is the Riccio Rumble.
Well,
and then the weekend after that, work, and so on. Like, I don't have an actual.
First of all, you're going to skip Rick's event. Another announcement, August 20th, Rick is running an event in Madison, 75.2 list event.
I'll be in Virginia.
What's in Virginia? Family?
Family.
Cool.
Family. There's like a game convention that my brother and his son go to, and
very cool
fly out there.
Adam, right? That's
That's
what they're like. That's why I was sad when he was in town. I mean, obviously, I was doing family stuff, but like, he's kind of fun. He's fun. I could see that guy like one day a year.
He's like me, but more obnoxious.
Yeah. So it's like definitely adult. I like a dose of Adam, and then it's like, okay, go back to where you came from.
Yes.
Stay there. You know, make your cute little statements on Facebook. Be adorable from there.
You know how like in Arrested Development when the mom's just like, I like all my children. And they cut to just like, I don't care for Job. That's my mom with Adam. It's like, I like all my children. I don't care for Adam.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
But yeah. The 20th, he's having an event. And then in October, he's having a 100-point event. I don't know the date, though. And sadly, I have a friend coming into town on the 20th, so I can't also. I will also be missing the Madison event, which makes me a little bit sad. But so I have bad timing as well.
Speaking of Rick and events and points, Rick did the correct thing. And if there's any people listening who have not yet done week two of the Journeyman League that they are running, you should ignore the rules that Privateer Press did, because Privateer Press has week two goes to 10 points and then week three is 25. You should have what Rick did was week two was 15 points and then week three was 25. And that's massively, massively better, because giving people 10 points means, and sticking it to battle group only restriction still means everybody just has to throw in a light, which, like, I guess, okay, everybody just throws in a light, but throwing in a light's kind of boring. And also for people like trolls who don't start with a heavy in their battle box, it's a kick in the taint. So he did 15 instead of 10, and so people could put a fucking heavy in there, and it's much, much, much more enjoyable.
We've had a lot. Our store has been, unsurprisingly, ever since the launch of Mark III, our store has been overly booked. And even with these Journeyman Leagues, it's been super crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and it's getting a couple fresh people in there too. So.
And we have just enough people who aren't doing the league. You know, so yeah, we have the corner of us who are happy with our 75 points, and we have the majority of the store doing the Journeyman League. So it's a really good balance.
It's kind of weird because 2 weeks ago for the first week, I think the majority were doing Journeyman. Yeah. And then this last week, there were only like three or four, I think, that were doing Journeyman. It was majority 75, and I'm not sure why.
Some of the Journeyman is kind of like to relearn your stuff a little bit.
Sure.
Like, that's why I've seen a lot of experienced people like go back to it, just go like, okay, now what does this do? How does the system work again? But I think Mark III is close enough to Mark II where it's really just the balancing issues as opposed to mechanics.
People are happy, and then he keeps testing things, and then it gets crazy.
Yeah, and he keeps fixing and unfixing it, and now he's having a psychotic break.
I'm going to do a possible redaction of my recommendation last week. I recommended Batman Arkham Knight last week, and I like all the Batman games. They're fun.
Were you going to recommend it on a PC?
Well, I play on the PS4. I would never. I always play third person games on the consoles, but I did hear how bad that was on the PC. Exception that had a bad port, but I like the Batman games. They're fun stories, and like any game, the difficulty grinds up. You learn a new technique, and then you start using it more and more. And then if you didn't learn it, eventually it becomes a problem, so you have to master it, and, you know, all these new weapons and gadgets. And I have completed a bunch of the side missions, caught some of the villains, or progressed the story. Well, the Riddler makes you do every other Riddler mission is either a puzzle or a race, or puzzles with races, all sorts of shenanigans, you know, Riddler-type things. Well, the final race, in every race, you learn a mechanic that you have to do with one of your buttons or, like, manipulates the board. On the last race, on the last map, he disables all of that and changes the entire how you race against him. And I did it about 9 times, and I got nowhere. And I was like, this is annoying. I am probably not, I'm going to the internet. It was 9 races, 9, not even within an inch of being anywhere close. So I Google it, and everyone's like, yeah, that was, like, the worst experience of my life. I did it, like, 70 times, and I passed it finally. And I'm like, 70 times at the hardest thing, I would probably break 1 to 3 controllers, yeah. Which means when you break a controller, you throw it against a wall, and it always bounces into something else. So it's a controller plus a random thing in your room that's going to break. And I'm like, man, each controller is about $60. So I'm like, I'm going to basically have to spend $180 plus replace random X piece of whatever. And my TV could be one of those things. So I'm like, I put the game down, and I also have noticed the game had, at some other points, has had like these really weird difficulty jumps. You're just doing something, and suddenly it has kept having spikes of difficulty in some of the side missions. So I was like, God, so I'm like, you know what? I just put it down. I was not going to play it again. But I'm like, I think I might just go back and complete the main story, and maybe be okay with having to ignore some of the side missions. But it was also involved Catwoman, so there's all these other things going on. So a game that just constantly kept adding in these like hard spikes constantly was awkward to me.
So two things related to that story. One having to do with, you know, random difficulty spikes, and one having to do with destroying random things in your room. So God of War 1 has my favorite example of why game testing is important. And that's if you played God of War, the first one, and you die and you go to Hades, and when you're climbing out of Hades, there's that like vertical climb on these spinning pillars with spikes and
stuff. Oh, yeah.
And it's the worst thing ever, and you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Because you get 80% of the way up, and you have to have pixel perfect dodging, and if you miss, you get hit and fall all the way back down to the bottom and have to do the whole fucking thing all over again.
Yeah.
So that's the only part of the game that was put in after they finished playtesting. They just, like, 2 days before they ship, they're just like, let's just add this thing. And it's the worst fucking thing ever, so that's probably what happened with the Riddler thing. But as far as destroying things, this is a don't-do recommendation. So I had one of those shelves that hangs on the wall, just like the free-floating one, just like on two screws that holds it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it had all of my... So when I sold all my mercs and everything, I kept everything that Marshall had painted for me, because Marshall's a really good painter, and I put them all on that shelf so they could be proudly displayed. And on Monday, the shelf decided to fall off the wall, flip over in midair, and land on top of all the models that were on it.
Is it the same as the buttered toast philosophy?
Yeah. The shelf's like, I'm going down, and I'm going to double sure fuck these things up.
Were you in the room like watching in slow motion?
Yeah. It's really bad. Yeah. Fun times.
Then I put the shelf through a wall.
Yeah,
because then I escalate the problem. Once I snap, it's just a matter of how much.
I am shocked that I stopped myself from going full escalation. Like I didn't punch anything fragile. Yeah. I didn't break anything over my knee. I actually maintained composure. I'm amazed that I did so.
I wonder who's destroyed more property, you or me, playing video games? Because I have broken countless controllers. I break a keyboard every year.
I curb stomped my first PlayStation to death. I just like there was a game that was giving me trouble, so I pressed the eject. I didn't punish the game. I pressed the eject button. I took the game out, and then I just stomped the PlayStation into dust.
I have snapped games before too.
Oh sure.
I was like, you know, I'm not going to give you another chance. I snap it, and it's like problem solved.
Yep. You don't want to ever be tempted to try it again.
Yeah.
And this makes sure.
Yeah.
It's gone.
I mean, I've literally shattered 3 iPads, you know. Oh, yeah. So it's
there's a show called Demo Disc.
Yeah.
That a group on YouTube does called Funhouse. And one of the things that they do is they go and grab a demo disc. Somebody, one of their fans sent them like a huge binder, like one of those big, huge CD binders filled with just PC gamer demo discs. And the satisfaction they must get of trying to play said demo disc. And then they snap it in half after every episode.
I only get mad at Jeff for a few moments, but in those few moments, whatever game I'm playing or controller I have, just can't handle it. I calm down pretty quickly, but it's like just that couple, like, that's a problem.
Is it a shock from the property damage that you've done? Like,
No, I'm irresponsible with money. Yeah. It's like the problem is, I think someone's neck or a disc can break just as fast. That's the only problem. Luckily, no one's ever in arm's reach.
Yeah.
I won't ever torture someone to death, but someone's neck will be snapped by me at some point in my life. That's not a joke. That's reality.
Yeah.
Just stay. If you see me get really mad, just stay out of the arms ring. It's a very quick fuse, and I calm down fast, but I have tried to murder someone before, so. Besides today. Is that a callback?
That wasn't a rage murder, though. That was just this is happening.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm Andy, and I play Protectorate. Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my models.
Did you guys go through intros when I was doing this?
Yeah, we kind of did.
We even did announcements.
But I don't play Protectorate, though. I don't know why I even said Protectorate.
I don't know.
Yeah. So the good news, because Travis asked, I'm going to go over the damage for my models. So I had a keg protector that wasn't painted, and her spear just got bent, and so I just unbent it, so she's fine. And Lug survived unscratched, something else survived unscratched. Brun lost his head. Poor Brun. But that's an easy glue back on. There was like three or four things that just like lost one arm or one head. The only real casualties was I had a rock ram where every component piece is separate now. Mm. They're all just big chunks. Like I can just put them together. The real casualty is the pancaked Fiona.
Ooh.
Like just full on pancaked. Like there are no pieces that are still the same shape and size that they were. I think she got the full brute force land of the shelf directly on her.
I think this is a good segue. I'm thinking about starting up like a small... like a small business in a sense.
Darkwing Duck was not on that shelf. Darkwing Duck is fine. Okay, go on.
I was thinking about doing like a mini repair shop.
Oh, sure.
All through a War Machine weekend, I'm going to be doing a mini repair shop. So if you have minis that you want me to fix, or if you want fixed, you could drop them off at the shop at the Hobby Lounge, and I will repair them for you for a price, maybe.
Did you build a battle boar, by the way?
A battle boar? I did. He's at work.
Oh, okay. I built the splatter boar and I ruined him. But, you know, that's how I build things.
I have two models for you.
Ooh.
I'll exchange them for cash.
Oh, okay.
Some trade.
It's not Tuesday.
I know. I didn't bring it with me.
So you don't have two models for me.
It was a joke. I told what? It was a joke. It was a joke only Nathan would get. It's a good one to know your audience.
Yeah. Good joke, though.
It's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
But, Doctor, I am Pagliotti. Good joke. Everyone laugh.
Joey Pants? What?
Yeah, Joey Pants.
So everyone here has watched Stranger Things, right? So we can we can just recommend that. No. And just,
I'll blind recommend it.
The record of the podcast could be just talking about it.
I did hear that one of the songs actually was released a year after the show takes place, so the show is garbage.
Oh, they got it.
That's it right there, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what tanks it.
Garbage.
And it takes place in 83?
Right, and it's like a song that came on 84 or whatever. Yeah,
I've been thinking about getting Jim to actually watch it. Which sounds like a bad task, but Jim actually likes Super 8. He likes those style of shows.
Well, so I mean, there's hot chicks in Super 8.
I was gonna let it go. I was gonna let it go.
Yeah, we weren't even gonna bring it up.
Mom and the older sister.
Yeah,
the older sister. Yeah,
the older sister.
The older sister.
Yeah,
there's an actual older sister.
Yeah,
in that show.
Yeah.
For the Fanning family.
Just tell Jim, Jim, let's watch this and don't say anything about it.
Yeah, nobody likes this.
No. Well, I mean, people already kind of described it to him. It's like a mix between, you know, like a Spielberg and Stephen King in a sense.
Yeah, basically it's Goonies meets Stand By Me, meets E.T., meets X-Files, meets Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know, when you mix enough things together, it all turns into brown mush.
Oh, it turns into beautifulness.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing.
That movie is in the
middle. I have heard good things.
That movie is in the middle of my Venn diagram. Like, that's... No, it's a movie.
Okay.
In my mind, it's a movie. It's an eight-hour
movie.
It's an eight-hour movie of beautifulness. They're going to do a season two, and I hope they don't. Well, I mean, they will, but I can't. Season one was so good, I can't imagine season two can keep that magic.
It worked for True Detective.
And The Dome. And Under the Dome.
The Dome didn't turn off. True Detective season one was a masterpiece. The Dome was never a masterpiece.
Season one was so good.
It's no season two.
It's no iZombie. Season one and season two are both amazing. God, that show is amazing.
iZombie. Yeah.
That's a show is great, not only because it's enjoyable throughout. It's never amazing, but it's always good. But it always fucking sticks the landing. It makes it just really, it just ends on such a high note.
Sure.
And that just makes the show so much more enjoyable when it just ends strong every time.
It's very quirky for what it is. As somebody who has never seen many episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that's what I assume that it's very similar to.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Just kind of a, you know, kind of a dark tale with a lot of quirky characters.
It's the same kind of supernatural, you know, Valley Girl, you know, rapid talk vibe. Yep. Although every once in a while, Buffy would just drop all the wacky fun and just tear your throat out.
Okay.
You know, like the body. Hilarious.
Like Boom. Jesse the Body Ventura?
No.
What?
There's an episode called The Body, and it's not funny. Oh. It's not funny at all.
Is it? So it's not like The Fly from
no
from Breaking no. Bad. I heard no. you guys talking about Breaking Bad. I don't remember what it was about.
But. I don't remember that. Oh, Hank on the toilet. We were talking about having to wait for the second half of a two-parter.
Oh, God,
and yes. Hank on the toilet for a fucking year.
Yeah, that was... When I was marathoning that with Jim to get him up to speed on that, that was... I had to try to drill it into his head that we had to wait like a year and like 3 months.
So that scene, I had a moment... Because the look on his face is pretty crazy. I had that look on my face on Tuesday, but I was really constipated. But it was basically the same look as Hank had. But he just had, you know, a better reason to it. I wish my reason was I just found out, you know, my brother-in-law was a drug pig. Not like I can't shit.
Are you sure your reason wasn't better?
I don't know. It was more real.
It was more important to you at the moment.
It was the exact same look that I was like crying in pain, and then finally the blood came out. I was thinking my face looked just like Hank's did.
The blood helps to
it does
lube everything up.
It was enough blood vessels burst that it kind of slid it out.
Sure.
What?
That doesn't happen to you. You bleed enough and then the shit comes out of you.
It's a defensive measure.
I actually got dizzy from so much blood loss. I'm not kidding.
You should probably go get that checked out.
Oh, no. It's been happening for years.
Okay.
Anyway.
Brent's got a steady diet of concrete mix.
Speaking of that scene for Breaking Bad, though, I wanted that scene. When it goes to black right before the credits come up for the thing, I wanted to hear a plop.
So did I.
It would have made that seem perfect.
Anyway, topics.
I want to segue off of your thing about your mini repair thing that you're going to do.
Yeah.
Here's my brilliant idea I want to take on Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would work.
I'm not going to repair minis for the world.
No. But look at this shit, okay? So, like in Christine or back in the 50s or whatever, they had those automotive shops where they had all the gear and everything. You just park your car there and you could take a car there to work on because not everybody has a pneumatic wrench and all that shit, mm-hmm. okay? So, one of those, but for woodworking. Like, no one can afford a house anymore or a table saw. Like, that shit ain't happening. So, if you want to build, like, a birdhouse or something with your kid, you just take them down. You rent some tools for, X dollars an hour. Buy the wood and the glue and the nails from me, and boom.
You can actually do that already. You know, like Home Depot, you can rent tools.
Sure, but not the space. This is a shop. Think your high school wood shop, but just like in a strip mall there, and you just go in and fucking work on it there.
They have public gardens where you can rent space in a garden. Where if you don't have a garden, you can like have a little area for garden. Why not have a public workspace?
Yeah, a woodworky shop, or even not just woodwork. That could be metalwork and stuff. I don't know, but just think that shop from high school, but you can just go there and you can rent like a U-Haul storage locker area there to keep your table while you're working on it, and you just come in, work on it every Thursday and
keep all the dead hookers.
That could possibly be I like the idea, but I could see where the logistic nightmare could be in play.
Insurance
for the place would be the worst.
Sawdust and fingers, you know.
Just get a hose for the end of the day.
Our viewer Tort made a comment about cooking season 2 with Brian. I remember we were supposed to have cooking with the Cripple System cooking podcast
Raylene's making pickles right now.
How do you make the done? It's like step one, get a pickle. Step two, eat the pickle.
Well, this was step one, drive 4 hours up to bumfuck nowhere North Wisconsin where her parents are.
Cucumbers?
Step two, load the car up with enough veggies to kill a Continental Army. Step three,
I don't think you're
pickle
using vegetables right.
I would probably die of starvation in that car, wouldn't I?
Yeah, probably. But no, there's like 50 pounds of cucumbers. There's zucchinis. There's carrots. There's corn. There's dill. There's fucking everything. The house is just filled with veggies, and so we bought some jars before I came over here, and she's just pickling everything.
I understand, but if they're pickles, how do you pickle a pickle? It's just a pickle.
They're not pickles now. They're cucumbers now.
Yeah.
What?
You put them in a jar with vinegar and spices, and then it becomes a pickle.
I don't believe you. You just grow pickles.
After a long time, it becomes a pickle. My mom used to do
the whole line of like artesian pickles, where you like the spicy pickle and then the sweet and salty pickle.
Yeah. We got like four. I got dill and kosher dill. Don't know the difference, but we bought both mixes.
But pickles?
We got spicy. We got bread and butter. We got sweet.
But pickles taste so bad. Why would you want to make something that doesn't taste as bad?
First of all, you shut your whore mouth. Pickles are the best.
Pie hole. Shut it.
No. Second of all, it's only sweet pickles that are terrible. Dill pickles are fucking heaven, as are bread and butter pickles.
Kosher pickles.
I've only tasted one kind of pickle I hated, so all pickles are bad. I've only had one kind of mustard, so all mustards are bad. Dill? I don't know. It was terrible.
Okay.
You probably had a sweet pickle.
The bigger issue. So here's the thing. Because you only ever had a black olive, I think. You've never had a green olive. And pickles are similar. A sweet pickle and a dill pickle taste nothing alike.
Well, the black olive was like eating...
death.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just
it was a spongy death.
Black olives are just this ashy, terrible... I love black olives, but they're terrible. But green olives are good.
Black olives, to me, really green don't just have... salt. They don't really have much of a taste to them.
Speaking of
I
food,
like them on...
what, like dirt.
What?
I thought you had food for them.
Oh, I do have some stuff I can get, but I'm not now.
All right.
It's fine. I ate it all.
All right. Son of a bitch.
I'll get something.
I'm still in shock and awe over your eating habits. Don't like pickles, don't like olives, don't like...
But he's only ever had a black olive, and they're
both are good!
Well, that's fine, but you have to admit that black olives and green olives taste literally nothing alike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're shape is about the only thing they have in common.
And the name.
Yes. But I'm assuming that just...
I had
it's
a yellow...
like koalas
I had,
and pandas don't taste alike at all.
Here was my test case. I had a green bean, and then I had a yellow bean, and they were very similar, so I assumed all green and yellow vegetables were the same.
Black olives aren't yellow.
But it's yellow enough. It's yellow.
Black and yellow are kind of the same.
Well, exactly.
Because they're often paired in superhero costumes.
I'm just saying there was two different colors.
Tag teams?
Yeah. There were two colors. They tasted the same. I figured all things that were named the same word.
No.
Green olives just taste like salt. It's wonderful.
I mean, I love salt.
It's like capers.
You probably would like green olives.
I think you would like green olives.
Maybe someday. I'll have to prepare myself because after the
you
black olives.
You can't really just get a giant spoonful of green olives.
Yes, you can.
You can.
Shut
yes.
up. I would
I
do that
think,
all day.
I don't think for your first time.
No, maybe this not. One's good.
I was even a generous, because I was like eating a lot more vegetables. That's when I learned I didn't like lettuce, but I like spinach leaves. I was putting all different foods and things, and I bit into a black olive, and I almost like gave up on food completely.
I finally had a Brussels sprout yesterday for the first time ever, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
It tasted very broccoli-esque.
It's kind of a cross between broccoli and cabbage.
Yeah, mine was very young, so it's very broccoli, and I was told as it ages it gets more cabbagey, but I like both those flavors, so I think I really like Brussels sprouts.
Well, especially if you cook them the right way and like smother them with butter and grill them up that way. Butter.
I was very disappointed in something I just recently ate, and I completely forgot what it was in that conversation about Brussels sprouts. You blew my brain away. I was analyzing your conversation so much, I forgot about my own thought. Just went out my head. But that's okay, I'm over it.
Yes, because Brian tasting a food he hasn't tried yet, so it's a pretty long list.
It's a pretty it shrunk quite a bit a couple years ago. I really went crazy on new things, and then I was like, oh well.
You're done. You're done new things.
I tried a bunch of new
things. I'll bring some green olives next week.
I can't eat.
I think a pizza with green olives would be
I can't eat new things in front of people. It has to be in the privacy of my own home.
You ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That was a lot of pressure under that. That was a big deal for me to eat that.
Your epic response was, it's different. Which is the most wrong thing anyone's ever said after a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
If you guys want to see that video, it's up on the Crippled System YouTube page.
It's different.
It was. I got that link. I got a reminder recently from Facebook. I hate the daily. You remember a year ago you did this thing. I'm like, stop telling me every day. I like when they used to like your memories was like less often. Now it's like a daily memory. It's like
it was worth it to me because like a couple weeks ago it popped up with a memory thing. It's like here's a memory from like 3 years ago, and it was me going apartment hunting for my stepdaughter who still lives with us. It's like we're gonna go find an apartment so she can move out. It's like 2012, and I'm like, oh.
No, some of those having me sad. It's like I can't wait to play Mass Effect 3. It's like no, go back in time, save Brian. Don't make me go through the horror.
You had a video or an image that you had sent me back in, I think, like 2014. It was a shot of the guys in Pacific Rim all getting suited up and ready to go. And then it cuts to, as it shows them start to walk.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Vince McMahon walking down the...
Doing his shimmy walk that he did.
He walked well.
It was me, Austin!
God, I miss over-the-top Vince McMahon. Yeah.
So do we have a War Machine topic for the week for the hell of it?
Let's talk about Madrak 2.
Madrak 2, he's fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced.
Well, I mean, we will go. We have Gen Con coming up. We have War Machine Weekend coming up. And then we have some other big event coming up. WTC. I guess that's big if you care about Europe shit, which, you know, maybe some people do. I think after those events, I don't expect any changes from Private Press until like against the first 6 months.
It's supposed to be 6 months. Yeah.
People said 6 months, but I remember them saying 6 months. So
They said a couple times a year, and so people latched on to the pure math of a couple times a year, dividing to exactly every 6 months on the mark.
And I can imagine them doing like once a year. So I'm curious. But I mean, we'll see. The current thought is Magic 2 might be too good.
Just a little.
And we'll see based off the next 3 months of events. I mean, because right now it's just a theory machine watching people who are playing and being unstoppable. And maybe there's an easy stop to it, like, you know, also play Magic 2. So then if Magic 2 can't die and you have two of them, then the game just gets a stalemate and then the universe stops.
Correct.
See, yeah. This is the problem.
I found it, I did see Jay Larson's post about his battle report.
I mean, he's fine. He just murders infinite models and then wins the game. That's fine.
The only thing I'm really concerned about is that this is not their first rodeo with a model that, or with multiple models that can do this.
They added more surfing to the game, which was a little unusual. Although they took it away from Scorn. They let everyone else keep their surfing, but they took it away from Scorn. Only because the model that could surf was put in the initial, like the Insider, the Void Spirit.
Yeah.
Like if that would have like snuck through, I wonder if that would have just been like one of the many things that had been, not been a problem.
Because
that Void Spirit reads kills all infantry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which is not as good as Magic, which says kill all models. I mean, it's one step below that.
I do like people are like, well, so just take low model count armies against him. Like, he can't Pac-Man through you if you just bring, like, six heavies. And it's like, okay, or he has a spell that gives Weapon Master to entire units, and so he just blows up your fucking heavies. Like, yeah. That's not a solution.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solution if you don't know what else he can do.
True.
I mean, if you don't,
it
like...
It stops you from being Pac-Man to death.
Correct. Keep everything 4 inches apart, because, you know, that, then you know...
That's easy with, you know, how units work. You can just keep everything. Yeah. Also, he can cross a 6.5-inch gap. So only once, like he has to build up space, but he does have a 6.5-inch maximum gap cross.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking huge.
Yeah, it's larger than the chieftain had.
Yeah.
Back in Mark
1. Everyone just plays Metro 2, problem solved. And who knows, maybe it seems good.
Yeah.
But what we have a few major events that will actually show us whether it's truly bad. It seems like a worrisome event.
The one pretty decent answer is Corbeau.
He can't Corbeau with Resnik. He can't kill Resnik too.
Yeah,
he can kill the other 40. He can kill every other model in the army except for those.
Is Resnik 2 immune?
He fights two Corbeau and shoots a spell at her.
But he can't. Somebody was saying that you shoot a spell at her.
Yeah.
But there's two problems with that. Number one, her ability doesn't say regular attack; it's just all attack, so he can't spell her.
Okay.
He could spell her from. Between 7 and 8 inches away, because she's only immune within 7, and his spell is an 8-inch range. But he cannot willingly pause berserking to cast a spell. So he'd have to miss between 7 and 8 inches away from her so he could cast a spell at her, and then have a model he could buy an attack at to continue surfing to Resnik.
Gotcha.
Also, his... I lost all.
Tor wants the math on the gap. He has a 2-inch reach... He's an inch and a half, so you're at 3.5. He gets to walk an inch after hitting, so that's 4.5, and then he has his 2-inch reach the other direction. So he can cross a 6.5-inch gap. And then from there, it's just 1 inch, and so if he's going 3/4 of an inch at a time, he can rebuild up to store a bigger walk. But one time, he can go up to 6.5 inches.
It's, yeah, pretty damn sizable.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, it's the first, like, holy crap. And we've seen, at the WITC, we've definitely seen, like, Chad at one turn could have been like, I could kill all 45 models or just the 8 to the caster. But he literally could have killed every model.
Yeah,
he just chose to end the game, but he in no way, you know, he just, for a simple...
Yeah, if he wanted to pad kill points, he could have killed literally every single model on the table.
Yeah, he just...
But, you know.
All because Jordan had one model that was out of position.
No, it was objective.
But I mean, if you would have had stuff back from the objective, then he wouldn't have been able to do that. But, yeah that was...
Yeah, you just stay you just stay far enough away and you lose the scenario. You're fine. Stay out of kill box. Problem solved.
Yeah.
See? Boom. Can't get killed by that. Fools.
That's true.
But
just,
yeah,
don't contest zones and you're safe.
Just kill him with rain. Yes, Travis. Jordan definitely wants to get in troll. Our local player is like, man, that list is broken. I should buy it.
Oh, that's it was fucking hilarious because he lost to it and he was pissed. He was like, this is bullshit. This is ruining the game. This shouldn't exist. This is stupid. There's no reason for this to be allowed. This is a failure of game design. And then boom, he's buying it.
Yeah.
Like, saw that shit coming.
Well, it was the same thing as when he took on Signar one time. He took on Haley too. And he's like, this is bullshit. I don't want this. This is fucking stupid.
On to eBay.
and then like, I'm going to buy Haley too. I'm going to get myself a couple storm walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a system.
He goes with it.
Is it broken? Yes. Do I own it? Yes.
Yeah.
Let's play.
Yeah, it works.
Ugh.
Good times.
Great oldies. Yeah. There, we talked about it.
We talked about some more.
Well, you're a troll player.
Well, yeah, but I'm not a highly competitive one.
Is he a troll player? I mean, he plays trolls.
He trolls us with his playing. I will take that. That is very true.
Jeff tries to play games and have fun and not play like these ultra broken things. It's really weird in the Madison meta.
Rock is really fucking expensive now.
He is.
But he hits just as hard as Mulg, which is interesting.
More so, he's got Assault.
Sure, but I mean just his strongest attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Like, Mulg used to be the thing that kills the world. Now it's Rock that does that instead. Also with Assault and immunity to cold.
Yeah.
Assault's pretty awesome.
It's extremely awesome.
I didn't notice Helga had Assault. It made me so happy when I noticed that. She gets better and better every week. I notice another great thing about her.
Oh, no, there's a lot of fun stuff popping up Mark III. I'm falling in love with the dual shot rules on the Blitzers and on Dozer and on the War Wagon.
Dual shot's amazing.
Yeah, it is really good. The jank you can pull with that nonsense. You can have Dozer bulldoze somebody as part of a slam, push them back, actually slam them at a closer range to a target behind them, and then he still gets to take his big old cannon shot.
Right in their dumb faces.
Yeah, because yeah, I knocked down my rat,
too. Oh, yes, you bulldoze, then you slam. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
The Blitzer can pull the same kind of shenanigans. The Swamp Troll can, I believe, and I've got to double check this, is buy a power attack two-handed throw, use its tongue lash to drag something into throw range, and then throw it. As part of dual shot. Because if you use your initial attacks or do a power attack, you can make your initial ranged attacks.
But I think you would have to do the power attack first. Like, I don't think you could buy it and then save it until after you shoot.
Check. It's ambiguous, but like the potential of that occurring, I think is still really neat. Or the alternative, where you grab something, you throw it,
and then you tongue it back.
And then you tongue lash something else.
Yeah.
Or, well, yeah, you throw an infantry into a warcaster, you knock the warcaster down, kill the infantry, and you grab the warcaster.
And we did skip the obvious Madrak 2 conversation capper that someone's asking about, which is what we would do about him.
Oh, wait for the nerf?
No. if you were designing the nerf.
Oh, it's got to be how he gets those Blood Fury tokens. Because, I mean, that's a big problem, or the spell.
What's weird, Makeda 3 can almost do the exact same as him because she can kill. She can have a spell on herself that gives her overtake, and she gets grievous wounds. Because his whole thing is attack, get grievous wounds, but he builds up. He has that build up mechanic where she doesn't have the build up mechanic.
Right.
So the build up, so you take it with a build up mechanic, he's still scary, but it's still an insane amount of surfing, but misses. Well, and it's also the berserk. It's still ridiculous. So,
yeah. Isn't the same camp as Butcher 2?
Right. Well,
Butcher 2 is a little more janky because he has to.
They don't gain the extra attacks is the issue. So like Butcher 2, like, so people have talked about having a cap like of his fury so that he can't just have 20 fury to keep buying attacks.
Right.
But the issue I have with that is that if he misses, he just buys an attack and still hits and gets back up to max fury. Like he'd have to miss like 6 times in a row before it actually is different than what he currently has. I think he should just have Soul Taker. Like, just have Wrathrock so he can give him Soul. So next turn he can have 50 fucking Fury, but this turn he doesn't.
No, because he survives so well because there's some people talking about how they just can't kill him because you send stuff into him. He has all those shield guards around him, plus he has his natural.
Can make him nigh untouchable.
It's kind of impressive.
And the abundance of shield guards and the Krell Stone and.
Flake, I've heard of Flakes because there's a British ice cream treat called, I think it's not an 88, that's the Nazi thing. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like ice cream and then you stick one of these candy bars in it.
So it's like a blizzard with that candy?
No, because you don't like chop it up, you just shove it in the top. It'd be like if I gave you an ice cream sundae and just shoved a Twix bar in the top of it.
So a super lazy blizzard?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. what we got in here?
These are candies from
Australia.
Australia. Australian candies.
I did eat both Turkish Delights, and they were amazing.
I have never actually had a Turkish Delight.
I'll buy you some. I love Turkish Delight. I buy it all the time from the Asian grocery store right next to where I work.
I actually don't know what it is other than knowing it's a dessert candy.
It's a gummy candy with powdered sugar on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. There's all sorts of neat stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Australia's good for one thing.
I don't know what Travis is talking about, by the way.
Well, it doesn't really matter too much. I do talk into the mic, but I didn't realize.
Oh, what now?
I knew that my thing, my pop filter.
You guys are talking. I was bored, so I was just adjusting his mic.
Fair.
Well, because you don't like food. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes down to it. Like, did you just grab, like, the milk chocolate bar, the most boring item?
Yep.
Okay.
Cherry ripe.
Ooh, a picnic. Although, the worst part about this is, I don't know if you can pick it up camera, is, like, just catching that at a glance and seeing that image. Like, nope, that is not candy. That's not appropriate.
What?
Just you catch that too far at a glance.
Oh, that chocolate bar is ejaculating on you.
Yes, that's exactly it.
That's how I prefer my chocolate.
With ejaculate coming out of it.
Boom. So a good question is, I wonder when Travis's store in Milwaukee will run an event again, because it's been like 7 years. Remember when Travis was like in charge of things and actually ran events? It was pretty cool.
Doesn't Dan Garces run that shit now?
In theory, Dan runs events. Dan runs events as much as Andy runs events locally. Never.
When do I run events?
Yeah. You do about one a year.
I run events all the time.
You got one in this year.
No, I ran two of them this year.
You got two events in this year?
Of course, the last event I ran was Mark 1.
Well, I mean,
Mark 2.
Yeah, Mark 1. Well, you know.
Been a while.
Been a while. Yeah. Just a couple of years.
Yeah. And like someone mentioned, like, the thing we haven't felt, we lack certain factions aren't run too competitively in Madison, which is sad and depressing. Like, Jeff wants to play for fun and goof around and won't play the really, really mean stuff. He's a son of a bitch.
But Jeff doesn't play in tournaments. I understand. That's.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we don't have a circle player jamming Wormwood down our throats, which is weird because Wormwood is just a fucking amazing thing right now.
I love that they fixed that fluff-wise about, like, I love that Wormwood's the Warlock now in Mark 3. That was a screw-up with the mechanics of Cassius in Mark 2, was that they made it look like he was the Warlock. And I like that they fixed that.
But I want to play against that, because I know that with the Sentry Stones is really brutal, and if you play with the board with force, how they can just basically force the entire board up. It's supposed to be very, very insane, and we don't have anyone who's doing that here. So I have to, like, travel to other events. I like to play against the stuff on a Wednesday night, learn it a little bit, and then so I go into tournaments, I have some sort of plan. Mm-hmm. But now I just have to, like, walk into it blindly the first time at some event, get my shit kicked in, go, okay, now I can adjust, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
But we have to learn all this shit the first time the hard way.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Well, me playing Magic 2 is not going to make it any better, because I'm not going to learn anything. It's like, oh, I just watched someone play the really powerful caster poorly and still
won. We'll gleam a little bit off of it. Well, there'll be a little bit, like, you know,
Jeff,
absorb.
You're very similar to our Menoth John, not the Menoth John, the true Menoth John.
I don't know which John one Service. You're stressing as the true one, so that's good.
John Service, he won the title, Menoth John, at the Mayhem Cup many years ago.
Man, that fucking drama was amazing.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway, you're very similar to him in the sense that you usually have a lot of thoughts outside of the box.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. No. That's how I like to play. Is I like to not use the norm and the easy nonsense, because what's the fun in that? I can look at Magic 2 on paper and see, yes, he is good, but then I don't need to prove he's good at anything.
Well, like, you did good against me with Crystal 2 a couple times, and I'm like, but the internet says this guy's not good. Why is he doing good with Crystal 2 and Mark 2?
Because she was freaking amazing.
I know, but yeah, that was
before everyone else played.
Yeah, before Waters came out.
Yeah, you played her right when she came out, and everyone was like, she's crazy, and you're like doing really well. I'm like, but this isn't supposed to be happening, because Jeff doesn't play good stuff. Yeah. And he just killed my army.
No,
what the hell was that?
Jarl's really good. Yeah. You know.
Well, at least that one people knew right off the bat.
He ended up in a lot of, like, worst to Trollbloods lists.
Well, yeah.
No, Jarl did not.
Jarl did. Not Jarl.
What is the right way to pronounce it? Am I doing it the wrong way?
No, you're
at flip side, but I insist on Jaga Jaga. You have to have the J sound in Jaga Jaga.
Aga Aga.
Jaga Jaga. Jaga 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 Jaga. Who I'm going to start testing, because she has Escort, and Escort's broken as shit.
Travis suggested we have a party at his place to play War Machine all day. I'm up for that. A weekend of War Machine at Travis's house, I'm up for that at any time. Milwaukee actually has some competent War Machine players now. It's disturbing.
Yeah, I'm about to get my basement game room and my upstairs secondary, like, office space back. So
yeah, but you guys keep getting more. I'm waiting for you guys to move into, like, the next, like, couple of years, actually get to something bigger. Because, I mean, you're getting more space, which is amazing. That's
next year we're moving.
That's what I figure. You're a bit moving, because, I mean, you guys keep getting animals.
No, we're down to just the dog and one right now.
Was that a visiting bunny or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Raylene's like, I want a bunny. I'm like,
no.
I just figured that was Raylene's new thing.
That was one of many things that the children left at our house.
Okay.
I get the context of this. It's just labeled crunchy. It just seems.
Yep, Jeff, eat that.
Where's the Cadbury Crunchy?
Eat that. Just eat it.
Wait, no, this is not a Nestle Crunch. It's something different.
Topical to the Australian candy. I saw a thing on the Facebooks where it's like Australians trying American candy, and one of the ones they had never had was a Butterfinger. So, Tort, have you never had a Butterfinger? And if so, why haven't you killed yourself?
It is fun. It is fun. It was watching them eat like different cuisine, and
it's like that caramel puff stuff. I've seen that. It's the
burnt sugar.
I like that one a lot. That's my favorite.
Like a Butterfinger, this is kind of. No.
If I would have saw that in there, I would have grabbed that. That's the one.
Yeah, because the honeycomb shit.
Yeah.
It's the texture, but it doesn't have the peanut buttery taste that a Butterfinger does. So it's a similar.
It tastes like burnt sugar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the best. I would eat it by the bucket load.
This is, of all the candy on the table, this is a bland one so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, never mind. Should have seen that coming.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, but the other one that Nathan was looking at was the bubbly, as in described as bubbly,
like
chocolate.
Air pockets in it.
Yeah. I've never seen that before. It just tasted like. Like Travis
keeps trying to link shit in our chat. Twitch doesn't like you linking shit, Travis. It could be porn.
I turned that off, Travis. I didn't want people doing that in our chats.
Just do .http..
We have a return address. I'll just send a Butterfinger to Tor.
So yeah. Well, no, but the creamy peanut butter blend with sugar candy is basically what a Butterfinger is, except it's not puffy. It's condensed into hard, almost toffee-like peanut butter in a Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm. Weren't we supposed to send Tort something last week, too? Tort, make a list of things we need to send you.
Last week, we discussed this exchange. We have received his...
No, this is not him.
Oh, this wasn't from him?
No.
Oh, fuck you, Tort. You get nothing. I saw Australian candy, and he was talking about it, so I assumed he was involved. If he didn't send this, he can go die in a fire.
This is truly a gift from my coworker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I do have more Listener candy.
I do have Cheds, but those are all mine.
But you kept those.
I've been saving them.
I ate a box of Cheds in a day and I got very, very sick and it was worth it.
It was so good. God.
Cheds are like chicken and a biscuit. It doesn't taste at all like chicken and a biscuit, but chicken and a biscuit, that's the most intense flavored American like crackers I can think of.
Yeah.
And Cheddar is like super intense, like cheddar buttery crackers.
Yeah, they're so good.
An intense level of a taste. And you can eat a box at one sitting, and then you're like, your stomach goes, you made a mistake.
Well, that just strikes me as the kind of snack food that skips the step. Like, because here we have like the cheese, sausage, and crackers, where you have to get the cracker and smear it with cheese and apply the sausage. And that's just if you're too lazy to get the cheese and smear it on the cracker, you just slap the sausage on top of it.
Was this covered in chocolate, the Turkish Delight?
Yeah.
Okay. Usually it's not. Usually it's just powdered sugar. But I know the individually wrapped stuff is oftentimes chocolate covered.
Yeah. It was
really I'll buy a box of it and bring it next week.
I will eat some of it.
So, basically if Tort... Well, nobody should eat those Cheds with raw eggs.
I think Cheds have so much intense flavor that
you
just
need the raw eggs.
I wouldn't put their eggs with them. It'd be
a waste of the raw eggs.
It wouldn't work. You really want like generic saltines with the raw eggs.
Yeah,
the salt pulls out the egg flavor.
I haven't tried it yet, and I need to. Cheds with summer sausage would probably be goddamn amazing.
I thought about it, but I didn't think the Cheds pure. Well, I thought about it as I was just inhaling it. Like, I could put some, just this. Because I've been going down to the farmer's market getting, a really good sausage links down there.
That would be just kind of funny. Just driving down to the grocery store, just eating the Cheds, going, I should get to, I'm all done.
Yes, pretty much.
I've looked at a couple of stores in the area. Now that I have another box I can compare that I haven't destroyed, trying to see if I can find something American-wise that would be similar, and I have not found anything.
I wouldn't even try because I'd be devastated in my trying to eat less.
Travis is being wacky.
I try, yeah.
He's trying to counter-troll with the thing that's trolling him.
Being given two boxes of Cheds in a week means I didn't lose any weight this last week. I was like, nope, I guess why. But I know what the fault was. It was like I found the problem. Evidently, two full boxes of Cheds does not equal
anyone on a diet food?
No.
Anyone following my Facebook knows why I haven't lost any weight this week.
For our audio listeners, Cheds are a specialty cracker from the Australia area. It's from a company called Arno's.
I think I haven't had cocaine lately, but I'm pretty confident
lately
Cheds is more addicting. Like if you said, here's some cocaine and here's some Cheds, I'm taking the Cheds. Now, if you throw in the hookers with the cocaine, I'd think about it for a minute.
Would you snort Cheds off of a hooker?
Oh, my God. That isn't even a question. That's an obvious answer. Is it a question if it's an obvious answer?
Yeah, fair.
I mean, that's 100% going to happen.
Just chunks of cheddar cracker going in your nasal cavity, just shredding your sinuses.
Can you imagine the poor hooker just realizing you're just crumbling crackers over her? You're like,
her mouth will be taped shut. It's okay.
You pay extra for that, but it's a really good extra feature.
You pay?
How's the Milky Wobbly?
It's kind of like... Well,
you take it back when you throw it in the
trunk. Think of Andy's Mint, only they make the mint part hard and porous.
No, I know it's mint. I'm aware. I got the same box of candy you did. Andy shared his box of candy with you guys.
You did not.
No.
Aw.
I threw that
candy. And you guilted me into it, you fucker.
I know.
I could have had all these for myself.
What?
Sorry.
I did tell my coworker that I was going to share it with the folks on the podcast. So.
Yeah. Arnett. Pronounce it T-S, he says.
Oh, it is. I thought it would be Arno. It sounds to me that...
I think they're the same ones that do the Tim Tam.
Tort, on mm-hmm. Facebook, send me your mailing address. I will send you some of my raw eggs and crackers.
I think they've got that out in Australia.
No, I make it just right. And typically, you want to eat within about 3 minutes of making it, but I'm pretty sure it'll survive customs.
Yeah.
I'll double...
Just mailing him the eggs would be great.
I'll double...
It's just in a bubble envelope. It's not even a box. You just dump it in a bubble mailer.
I want to mail someone crackers and eggs so bad right now.
Do you still have George Martin's address? Oh. Now, this is the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me.
No, that could probably kill him, though. Of course,
you think he'd eat it? Like, he'd open and go, "Welp, as long as it's free," and just start shoveling rancid crackers and eggs into his
George Martin or Tork? Because one of them, I think, would probably do it.
Fair.
My bet is on both.
Also, I guess there's a difference between George Martin and George R.R. Martin.
That's true, too.
Well, speaking of strange foods, I rediscovered today that I have yet to eat a Twinkie Wiener sandwich. Have you ever seen...
Are you about to finish the sentence you just fucking started? You just turned towards us and said, have you ever seen...
Yeah, I that's why I stopped the sentence.
Fuck, man. Well, that was insulting.
Well, because the reason I got reminded of it is I found someone who hadn't seen it, and it did not compute.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, I'm sorry. I'll double check. Have you heard of Weird Al Yankovic before?
I might have.
Okay. All right.
He's, yeah. Who is this?
Yeah. Yeah. He's
is he? Is this a guy named Al and he's weird?
Yeah. Oh, fine. Be that way.
Have you ever seen UHF?
But I need to try that. I absolutely need to try that.
Twinkie Wiener sandwich.
Yeah. It's on the bucket list. It might be what kills me, but it's on the bucket list.
It won't kill you.
It'll be the last thing on the bucket list. You almost couldn't because Twinkies died for a while.
That's true. I mean, that would have been a catastrophic loss.
You could have did a Swiss cake roll.
They came back to Jeremy's delight.
Swiss cake roll is nothing like a Twinkie. No, but a Swiss cake roll is a ho-ho.
Might be really good, though.
Well, sure, but then that's a Swiss cake roll wiener sandwich. That's not a Twinkie wiener sandwich. You could have a ho-ho Polish sausage.
Yeah, who'd want to put their wiener in a ho?
Panini.
Oh, yeah, put a wiener in a ho.
I put my wiener in a ho-ho all the time.
Only when I travel.
that way they can't find you.
Yeah. Speaking of food, Andy had a tornado on Friday. First, he had his first tornado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had tornadoes.
They're so good.
I almost had one, but then I didn't.
Every day I don't have it, I'm sad.
We talked about this before, and this would convince me to go try one because everyone said it was amazing. When you go into the convenience store or gas station, you see the grill of shame.
Yeah.
And you just see them all rolling on there. You see hot dogs on there that they're never going to survive the rest of the day, that they're going to be thrown away.
Yeah.
And you see that thing that's been rolling on there. It looks like it's been rolling on there since like 84.
Probably has been.
Scar.
It really adds, every year adds flavor.
I get the same feeling then that I get seeing the old dog at the pound, where I'm like, you know what? I'll give you a home, buddy. I'll give you a home. And I grab that shriveled hot dog.
Aww. Actually, to be honest with you.
Release it into the wild?
To be perfectly honest, those hot dogs that are cooked on there for a very long time are actually some of the better ones.
Yeah.
Well, because they shrivel down and it gets more...
It's pure hot dog.
It's concentrated hot dog.
Yeah.
Correct.
Concentrated? I don't know if that's quite the right word.
I'm one of the weird folks that has... If you put a hot dog in the microwave for too long, it does kind of have that little burnt parts on it. I like that burnt part on the hot dog for some reason.
Well, because it's the same reason that a brat's not done right unless it's got that like char on the outside. Like you need that.
Well, that you have to cook it that long in order for it to not be pink on the inside, unless you cook them the right way. Which
we boil.
Is
well, no,
like, you like, boil them in beer.
Have you ever lost your mind? Gone to McDonald's and get one of like McDonald's brats where they're like they're cooked all the way through, but they're like a weird textured hot dog at that point.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, it's more because it's made of chicken.
What?
It's still not the right way to cook a brat.
True. I still got a box of Johnsonville's from Bratfest in my freezer because Robert's fiance was a volunteer there, and when they shut down, they brought home like literally 300 brats and just shoved them in our freezer. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those keep for a while.
I have a lot of brats in my freezer. That was the entirety of that story.
We are telling amazing stories. They have beginnings, sometimes middles, occasionally an end. That one had everything, but it was pretty low in the bar of stories. Jeff almost had a story earlier.
Yeah.
We're talking about gas food again.
Yeah.
Gas station food again. I love, I swear to God, I could live off it.
Oh, yeah. Fucking A.
Happily live off of it. I don't know.
What's great is that you pay like $3 or whatever, but for the hot dog or the tornado or for the nachos, but you get as many of those condiments as you want. Well, so like when I get the gas station nachos, I put a gallon of cheese in there and all of the jalapenos, like 5 pounds of jalapenos. Well,
is that like the secret behind those bars? You don't actually get a hot dog. You get like a relish ketchup-y mustard like bowl.
Yeah,
and then you just gotta shovel that in with some hot dog bits in there.
It's soup with hot dog bits.
Yeah.
And it's usually like 2 for $3. It's an insanely good price.
Well, it's like $2.50 for one hot dog or 2 hot dogs for $2.51.
Yeah.
It's like, well, fine, I guess so.
2 tornadoes for $2.22.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's a meal.
That was very good.
And all the relish and jalapenos you want.
Because you can't eat anymore, your body will shut down.
The cool thing about tornadoes is they come in that like tube. You eat it, but they come out exactly in the same tube form. It reforms an exact texture. You'll experience that tomorrow.
The form's Voltron inside of me. I see.
Okay. It's amazing.
The form's the e-cans.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Boom!
Dropping knowledge. So the Epic Juniormans with the thing at the...
It'll be Gen Con.
Gen Con. You know what's funny is that the Scar sculpt is a proxy for Scar 1, but she has a pistol, so she should be a proxy for Scar 2.
That's hilarious. It's really nice. It's a really nice model. I was pretty impressed with it. Have they shown off what's going to be at the Ram? I haven't seen like the Ram shirt yet this year. They usually post that somewhere. I haven't known.
Might be an anniversary of that Scar too, because she was like the first one.
Yeah, I think I have that Scar shirt in my closet.
I have the shirt because Jason Gargathor was nice enough to give it to me. No, the shirt I got from Stevel. Jason gave me the mug, which promptly was destroyed. Which was very depressing.
How'd you destroy it?
It was on top of the refrigerator where nobody would touch it, and then there was violent things happening, and the refrigerator shook, and it fell off.
Travis asks a question. We have 2 theme forces now. Which will we want to see next? Did anyone confirm? I said this last week, and I thought someone was going to check in case I was wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, that I thought we were going to see army books before theme books. And some people think they're going to be the same thing mixed together.
There's a forces book that's supposedly out in December. And I thought that was going to contain all the themes.
And I thought it was not. I thought there were 2 separate books. And someone was supposed to verify it. We have a podcast of people who listen to us that should check these things. Because I could check.
Nobody listens.
Lord knows we don't fact check.
I mean,
here.
Travis checks everything because he can't stop himself. Travis never stops, Travis, never stopping.
Show us the link of where the theme book is. Yeah,
put a link in this chat so we can look at it so we know if the Forces book are going to have themes, because that's an important detail.
It seems to me a little odd that they would actually put out brand new Forces book for everything again.
It's very weird to me.
Because I don't remember any of that being discussed as the big announcement for Mark III when they showed the videos. And
well, everything. You guys were there going, let us in fucking line. We don't care about your 5-minute video.
That's pretty much it, true.
Yeah. But I will say the theme I want to see most is the Immortal. I assume Scorn's going to have some Immortal theme.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm most interested in because I really like the Scorn Immortals. But I think their UA needs souls to start. After playing them, I feel that is a really, really slow army right now. And if they can somehow start the game with some souls, they can be faster. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's really legit. Maybe they'll have something else that won't do that. They have some other neat element. But I really want to see what they do with Immortals. I think they're powerful, but they need, I think, something else. Or I need to playtest them more and maybe find what that is.
Did your original list for a Steam Force actually have them in it? Didn't they get souls in there?
No, they did. But in Mark II, they were faster by default because of the Ancestral Guardians you had anyway. And you could have 2 instead of 1. So there's all sorts. Thanks, Travis. You got that link. You did it.
Side note, the theme force I wanted is Thornfall and Blindwater.
Yeah, but that's like
they're the obvious two. I want to know what benefits I have if I play, you know, racial purity.
I'm sure there'll be something in there. I'll show. Yeah, I mean, Kingmaker is basically Magnus's agenda.
Yeah,
I mean that's without all the awesome bad. I wish it had more bad seed stuff in it though. That's the only thing I really wish it had.
And I want goddamn Feral Valkyries. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I noticed that.
What?
Helga has veteran leader Feral Valkyries.
Oh,
the fuck's a Feral Valkyrie?
We'll find out in the next
year. It's probably a pig with wings.
Probably. Like, if it's Clockwork Angels, but just spherical, big old fat pig ladies, yes.
They don't have flight, though. They just have the wings.
Yeah.
No, they'll have flight. Someone's got to have flight in the pig army.
It'll be speed 3.
they'll bring glide back.
Well, I should go to Trick Travis to put in links enabled.
Sure.
And then we could tell if he's trolling us.
Well, it'll just all be porn past that mark. Like, finally.
Everything's porn if you try hard enough.
I don't like to think of it that way. But, yeah, you're right.
You're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, you could rule 34 almost anything.
I could jerk off to this bowl right now if I wanted to.
I am.
Well, I mean, that's what the milk chocolate bar was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
Aw.
Boom.
What we got left in here?
It's a picnic. Yeah, the picnic. It's like a whatchamacallit, but stale.
Well, it did come all the way from Australia.
Australia, the land of scary places. You know what? I said last year I was thinking of going to Australia. Next year, I'm thinking maybe the previous year. In like 2 years, I'm going to go to Australia. I mean, I got close last time, and then I'm like, it takes money. And if Australia is cheaper to go to in 2 years, I'm going to go for sure. Because now I have money, and now I'm saving up money. But I'm like,
just get on a boat and like go to Australia, and they will give you free lodging on a beautiful island.
Yeah.
All the sexual intercourse you could want.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. It's so goddamn expensive.
All you have to do is just show up on a boat.
It is so expensive to go to Australia. It's like I could basically spend a year saving to go to Australia or use that year saving to like, you know,
buy
save
a fucking house or something.
Yeah. I could like pay for most of a car or go to Australia for 2 weeks. It's like a really hard decision for me to make.
I looked at my 401k the other day and I was like, oh, look, I'm an adult. I'm saving money. And there's, you know, actual like money there whatever. And then I was, it had the figure out if you added like an extra percent or whatever.
Yeah.
And I compared like with what I'm putting in now, because I'm putting in 7% of my income. Nice. And I'm like, if I went up to 10, you know, what the difference would be? And even at 10, it's still like, you know, haha, you never get to retire.
Yeah, yes and no, but when you hit, not to talk about retirement, when you hit six, I mean, theoretically, Social Security will still be there. They keep, I laugh
it's
about
good to dream.
I laugh about that all the time, too.
And then leprechauns will come down and give us free housing with their jobby
jobs. The thing
about
that is old people vote, and as soon as you fuck with Social Security, they're going to vote those people out of office. So I really think it's going to have some potential.
But current old people voted to cannibalize Social Security for themselves.
I know, but I still think we'll see something. But anyway, you have there's other elements that'll balance your Social Security, your 401k. And you know what? You don't need to retire like a king. You can retire like a homeless person.
I suspect that future's going to be more like they have in Soylent Green, where you just go to a place and you live a couple happy hours and turn you into food later.
Well, I mean, honestly,
spoilers.
Oh yeah.
If we survive,
haven't seen a movie from the 60s.
I mean, if we survive the next 2 years, it'll be a miracle anyway, given our current political system. But that's so retirement. I guess isn't.
I
really
never
a big
thought
deal.
I'd pray for President Hillary Clinton.
We can do it! Yay!
It's the world I live in.
Anyway,
holy shit!
Wow,
what are you cackling at?
I'm checking to see, Brian, if you wanted to go to Australia August 10th.
Yeah.
And come back in a week.
Yep. How much?
1959 round trip.
What? How much?
Two grand. Round
that's
trip airfare.
Yeah. That's the cheapest I've seen.
Yeah. And that's only like a week from now.
It's only 23 hours.
I usually see it costing $3,000 to $4,000.
But that's from here. That's from Madison, Wisconsin to Sydney.
Oh. That's not bad. That's
traveling cargo class.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on the wing. They just roll of duct tape.
To the side.
Another $1,000 for a second roll of duct
tape. Landing gear cubbyhole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not too bad. That's a sizable fund that you can save.
Yeah, but I'm like, I would go for I would want to go for 3 weeks to Australia.
Yeah.
I would be staying in hotels for 3 weeks in Australia, having to rent a vehicle. Well, I can't.
What the hell is this?
So, I mean, it's like three lodging for 3 weeks. Unless I just see a torch, unless Torch just drives me. I guess I could see a torch for 3 weeks and he just drives me around the country. Yeah. I'm sure Torch's family will. I assume Torch has a family. He's not just a person living in a hole in the ground. But maybe he is. I don't know.
Well,
just have Torch be my chauffeur.
He's Australian, and you know.
Yeah, maybe he's up
in the you don't want anything to do with them.
That's true. You have to like despider the place. And I plus have to pay for the flamethrower to take with me. The permits have to be expensive for that. It's like, if I see a bug, I'm flamethrowing the room. That's just ground one. Ground two, I have two bodyguards, both of which have machine guns. I know you guys haven't seen guns in Australia in a while because you're, you know, people. But he has a family. Do they know that?
Oh, my goodness. Emus and kangaroos will fuck you up so hard, too. Mm-hmm. The kangaroos are ripped, and they strangle things to death.
That's good to know.
They have big, strong front arms because they just put them in a sleeper hold, and that's how they kill things.
My favorite video in the world is the emu that's trying to deal with a ball that's got like a little tail hanging from it. It's like a cat toy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god,
just jumping and kicking at it.
Yeah. It's the best.
I've seen that with googly arms drawn on it.
That, if you ever want to see an amazing video, go search on YouTube, camels in a car. There's just two camels in a car. And they're very upset.
Got to be a big fucking car. Yeah.
We're very small camels.
Camels, are they camel spiders?
No. Mm. God, no. Don't Google camel spiders.
Oh, we're about an hour in. I forgot. I haven't done this like the last 2 months. But I was supposed to have about an hour in. You're doing great, Hungerford. Push through the pain. You got this. All right.
He's actually listening to us?
He says he listens while he works out. But he can only listen for like an hour because that's his workout time. So at about an hour, I'm supposed to... reinforce, give him some what's that thing called? Motivation. I'm supposed to give him motivation in about an hour.
There's a lot of
is that the camels or the car making that noise?
Yes.
This cannot come across good for the audio.
Yeah. Well, our listeners get to hear us listening to camels in a car. That is rather impressively roomy car to fit two camels in it.
This can't be good audio.
That's true. All right. All right. Put it away.
You get mad at like a little ding on the table. And you
I know, but come on. That noise is
my phone's going on the table.
No! That's the worst. He needs to have camels growling halfway in between all four of our microphones. That's better.
That is the best. That is the best noise. Come on.
We're gonna replace all your ringtones with that.
I want to replace the Gary Busey's at the beginning with this. The camels.
You can do that. That's splicing it in's good. Here, he's gonna splice it in here. There. So now they just saw the camels growling. Hungerford, or if they didn't, you're lazy and terrible.
If Hungerford is still listening, you have to stop losing weight. You've lost enough weight.
You're creepy thin.
You're creepy. You're not like now. People are like, did he lose weight or is he dying of cancer? Weight at some point. It's like, slow down. Just slow down on the weight loss. You look good, but I think you're going to die soon. Let's eat a candy bar. Just one. What?
I'm laughing at Tort. I open my mouth and the camel noise just comes out. That's Tort's impression of me. Camels are great. I like camels.
Why?
They make that noise, and they're mean. You try to ride them, they're like, fuck you, and they bite you, and they spit in your face. They got moxie.
I want to see the before on there of how they got them into that car.
Sure. I think they built a car around the camels. That's
They raised them in there like a ship in a bottle.
They just don't look happy at all.
They put camel fetuses in a car and just raised them for a decade.
So, camel veal? That's not cool.
Well, no, but they didn't kill them.
Oh, right. Eventually, those get too large for the car, and those be car-shaped, and they cut the car off from around them.
Like those Japanese watermelons.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have car-shaped camels.
What? Japanese watermelon.
They raise watermelons, like, in square containers. They grow in the containers so that the watermelons are square so they can stack them on shelves easily.
Oh, is it like the cats, too?
I don't think they raise square cats, but okay.
You ever see it was a parody site of some sort where they had like where they would raise cats in glass bottles and stuff like that.
And they were bottle shaped. Well, yeah, it was that bottle shaped cats, but real.
Yeah, correct.
But yeah, it's watermelon cubes for easy stacking on shelves.
I mean, you can't fault them for that.
That's actually a really cool idea, though.
Yeah.
With a, like, I'm sure it's probably like a break apart mold that they can just reuse. Yeah. That actually sounds awesome.
What I'm guessing is that it's just like everything else you see on Facebook where they say, here's this cool thing from Japan, where one artist did it once, but we're all racist and assume Japanese people are weird, so they can just tell us that they all do it and we just believe them.
I want to believe in that Japan, though. That Japan's where I want to visit.
That is true. I want the Japan that's nothing but panty vending machines and cubic watermelons, but I don't know if that's reality.
I think the novelty would wear thin probably in about 10 minutes of that. Like,
have you met...
Nathan really likes those panty vending machines? Or
would you... He would just move into one. That would be where he'd live for the weekend.
Let me talk to you about Super 8, Jeff.
The girl in the movie, the girl in Stranger Things is young. Casey, when you watch it, you can't tell.
Well, we just watched the Maisie Williams episode of Doctor Who, and I told Raylene that she's 18 now, so back off. I can say whatever the fuck I want about Maisie Williams.
Well, like now or when she was on film?
Both, I think, at this point.
Once she turns 18, all previous work counts.
No, only if they're the same age as you. That's why with Christina Ricci, I'm allowed to watch Adam's Family Values and think she's hot, because I was also 14.
I watched Who's the Boss for a lot of reasons when I was younger. Liza Milano was my age.
So it's okay.
Yep, it's okay.
Because you weren't a 40-year-old man looking at a 14-year-old girl. You were a 14-year-old boy.
Yep.
And in your heart, you still are.
Yes.
That's how it works, Andy. I'm a public defender. Your Honor.
My hands, they're normal size, right?
Nobody look. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Recommendations.
Uncle Jack. He has normal size hands.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have beautiful hands.
Thank you. I need to trim my nails, though. They're a little dirty.
I just bite mine.
Yeah, I know. And yours are like that weird flexible thing, and when you point at your board games, your fingernails like bend under your fingers, and it weirds me the fuck out. My nails are hard like steel, and so they don't bend like that.
My toenails are hard as steel. Mostly just crusty yellow, like breaking and bloody. But you know, my fingernails are not.
They average out to normal.
Yeah.
You have rice paper up top and then just like bamboo down below. Yeah. And so,
yeah. Yeah, it balances out. A lot of information you learned about me today. A lot of Brian knowledge. I never knew he was going to kill all those people. We'll say no one ever.
I knew.
People, like, yeah, we saw it coming, but, you know, you're lazy.
You'll do it so quickly that I don't have the buffer like you do with Nick, where you keep him on Facebook. So he's like, you know, heading to the clock tower, and you're like, well, I'm staying inside today.
You got to keep the crazies close. It's just what you got to do.
I'm looking for like an out somewhere.
When we worked at Titel, one of the guys was like, you know, you guys are my friends. When I snap and kill everyone, you guys are the first ones I'm going to kill. And we're like, well, I don't want to in the heat of the moment. I don't want to just wing you and have you like lie in the corner dying slowly because I like you guys. I don't want you to suffer. So, you know, you're the first three bullets. We're like,
that's sweet of him.
It was.
Plus, that way he'll know that he'll be able to finish you off. Yeah. Like if you're at the end of the rampage, like if he killed Andy but not you before the cops got to him, you'd feel really bad about, you know, living on with that guilt. So by getting you first. Season, guaranteed.
Yeah. He was a very considerate guy.
Yeah. I had a different situation at Cytel for my mass murdering spree, where you know you would never shoot the person because inevitably you were the one that got fired and you came back with the guns, but you would never shoot the person that let you in the building.
Well, for etiquette, yeah.
Yeah, for etiquette, yeah. They because they have the badge still, they let you in the building, then they get to go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Want them to live with the guilt forever.
No.
You got to have rules is what we're saying. This is a society of rules.
This isn't NOM. We do have Zoopity Gooples, though.
Let's do that
and then do our recommendations this has been so well.
The season finale of Preacher's on tonight, and I'm very, very excited because he's gonna have a chat with God.
Well, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to play Heroes of the Storm.
You're what?
Playing Heroes of the Storm again?
Yeah, a buddy of mine that I recommended it to like 6 months ago. He's like, hey, Nate, I tried Heroes of the Storm. It was fun. You want to play Sunday night? I'm like, okay. So I'm going to play it.
How come you don't play with us, though?
I haven't played it in a year. This will literally be the first time I've played it since the last time I played with you guys.
I might come on. We have to play against people because it's more fun.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to watch you guys.
I'll be on Skype. I might message Plumber because like 2 months ago I told Plumber he should play and he's like, people are really hyper competitive. I'm like, fuck those people. They won't
Plumber
get to play
is the most fucking hyper competitive goddamn person in the world. It's hilarious playing with Plumber. He gets so mad so fast at every scenario when he plays Heroes of the Storm. And it's great. You just watch him just fucking rage. He's a rage machine in those games. And he is the first person to go ultra competitive. You'll be just sitting back, he's like, guys, let's go, and just you'll charge into the room and like, why did anyone help you, motherfuckers? Or like, because you said let's go and ran and we were across. I mean, anyway, but he's
Leroy Jenkins it up.
Oh yeah, it's great. He's fun. He's fun to play with. Absolutely hilarious to play with.
The Leroy Jenkins parody of Jon Snow.
No,
because it was from Battle of the Bastards. Yeah. He just goes, "All right, let's do this, Leroy." It's just the whole dubbing from the video, and of course they cut to Davos when it's like, "God damn it, Leroy." It's good times. Nice.
Anyway, Zappy Grimace.
Robert Derefsky wants to know, how does Andy like that dice tray?
Oh, I do like it.
Zappity.
I don't. I don't use it as much because I'm so used to rolling on the table. I realize that I have an issue. I roll on the table and I leave those dice there and I pick up another set so I can roll those. And it's difficult to do in the dice tray because I'm all rolling them all in the same spot.
That's why you need. You have one as a gift. Now you get second. Jay Larson always has two, like left side attack, hit, and right side's damage. So he's always like, you know.
I would like that better. It's difficult because I want my opponent to see the dice, and I'm picking up to so I can roll for the next attack as they're marking down.
If they
damage.
See my dice, they notice I'm cheating, which I don't like. So I don't know if I really approve with that. Oh, my hand! I shoved my hand for my last step of my 10,000 steps for the day. This counts as a step.
This count as a step?
Not really. Pretty smart about that.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I've tested that theory quite a bit.
But you can just karate chop yourself in the testicles and it counts.
Yes, but I can't. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Tim Rich wants to know, Carver plus Roshan Brian plus four heavies, how would you beat it?
Shoot it to death.
I know how it would beat it.
Armor 21, which is fairly, but yeah. I mean, he can't do Baton and mobility without being naked, which is dangerous. So usually he's choosing.
I would beat him with Thexus. Because he doesn't prevent me from moving his beasts.
Okay.
Just Baton doesn't stop moving? It wouldn't stop that.
Yeah, it stops knockdown.
Not Rampager.
Right, but yeah.
Rampager, I just grab one of his beasts.
Okay, yeah.
And push the other ones back.
Well, it's still only five heavies. You would just overwhelm it with Texas.
Yeah, especially with my Texas list, yeah.
Mandrake 2.
Yeah, Mandrake 2. Mandrake 2 would complete, yeah.
We have just answered everything for the day.
How would you beat blank Mandrake 2? Why don't we have Pocket Morty's go yet?
I think it'd be more creepy of grown men running around the world searching for Mortys.
I need to find that 12-year-old boy in the woods here.
That's why you play. I think that's why creepers play Pokemon Go.
Can you just imagine?
Pokemon Go has to be great for like you know creepy people.
Well, that's what was happening like the first week is like muggings.
Well,
and
one, yeah.
I think
there was somebody who I forget which comedian it was, but they tweeted and said that Pokemon Go was Tinder for pedophiles.
I think a lot of the stories there are overblown for for what they are.
Nobody was putting lures down and then mugging people when they showed up to the lured Pokestops. Like that's just shit just wasn't happening.
It takes a lot of time to actually get a lure in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't follow
or
younger.
$5.
I guess that's true.
That's an investment.
That's how those stores like the four Pokestops outside State Street Brats are constantly lured and there's no way that State Street Brats isn't just spending $20 a day.
Well, they don't, well
it's
the
worth
is,
it.
There's an apartment complex down there too. It's a college kids who can probably get to those spots from their room.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm down at States. I was on there on yesterday again.
I have not done like the crazy amount of walking I should with this game.
I got eggs.
I just don't like outside as much.
I mean, it's terrible.
It's
but
nicer now. This last week has been a little bit better. I can't get a dog. Can't get a dog here. Can't get any pets here.
You can.
No.
You can walk all downtown without you can walk. You don't need to put on town. You don't need an animal for that.
I like
to
go with other people.
Man, people are so annoying.
Mm. All right, Zavity.
Rebel.
Playing TI3 this weekend. What additional rules from the base game or either expansion should I use? Just play the base. Some of the expansion races are okay. I don't
remember enough of the rules to know what you should or shouldn't do. Other than that. I've played it a few times, but I don't remember us ever errating everything. Anyway.
There's the alternate Imperial crawl, Imperial card, because in the base game, there's the Imperial card, which gives you like two victory points, and then there's the card that lets you pick the next turn.
Yeah.
And so the first two people, I take Imperial, and then he takes pick first next turn.
Yeah.
And then turn order, because the next turn you do Imperial, and Andy takes pick first next turn, and then he does Imperial, and you do pick first. And so the first turn marker basically passes organically around the table because you have to do that. Like, you never don't take Imperial because two victory points is broken as fuck. And then the next person never doesn't take pick first because picking Imperial first next turn is broken as fuck. And so the first expansion came with an alternate Imperial card that's less broken, and so it encourages people to actually pick different roles, like Warlord and stuff, instead of just always doing Imperial, and then I keep forgetting what the name of that one is. But I would think about playing with that. I don't personally mind the Imperial crawl, because a lot of games just pass the token of firstness around the table, and this is just a mechanical way of making you do that anyway by making it optimal. But a lot of people like the alternate Imperial card. I doubt anybody else here has played TI3 enough to have a counterpoint.
No.
What is TI3?
Right. Exactly. Twilight Imperium 3rd Edition.
Oh, okay.
Which is the current version of Twilight Imperium.
That's what I thought it was, and I was like, why are we initializing it? I didn't,
because yes, you
didn't realize TI3. It was cool enough to be initialized.
Yeah,
people who have played... I played a fuckload of TI2, and so I still call it TI3, but most people just call it Twilight Imperium because, you know, the old versions
are like the game itself. I'm not like some of the other folks on the podcast that just rawr about it.
I don't know who
that is. It's weird, because I don't know that you oftentimes play 12-hour games.
I've played it.
Yeah,
it was like one of my first games where I got to run around with two like giant Death Stars.
Oh, sure, yeah,
yeah.
That expansion race is cool too, but I like it.
Oh. I would playing Twilight Imperium TI3 against Ben Cohen. I would probably commit murder because he's the kind of guy who just wants to roll dice and move things around. And that game is all about having patience for 12 hours before you make your move. And it's a 2-hour mark. He's like, I'm gonna take the guy to my left. Ha ha! Like, I guess we just both lose.
It's a Cold War game, a war game.
And he just wants to roll the. That's why he's such a. That's why Warhammer is such a great game for him, because he just wants to roll the dice regardless of reality.
I would recommend a 30-second egg timer as well.
For people's actions, or to get them going.
Because if you math out how many actions there are in a game of Twilight Imperium, if people are taking 5 minutes to think, the game literally will take days. And so you just need an egg timer and say you have 30 fucking seconds. Do something.
Because what me and Nathan do, and you guys probably do to some degree, when you play games, it's like on your opponent's turn, you actually think about your turn. And some people don't have that ability. They wait till their turn and go, oh, I should now look at the map and now decide, make some thoughts. And where, like, I'm like, every move, I have my turn ends, I have a plan. And then it changes a little bit based on what every person does before it's me again, and it's me. And then unless the last person did some insane shit, I have pretty much a plan. And sometimes the person to my right did some insane shit, so now I need to take some time. But that's the
I try to do that to you every once in a while.
But that's the exception, not the rule.
Right. You should usually have your next, like, three or four. Like, in games like Twilight Imperium, those action point things, or anything like Blood Rage or whatever.
You're plotting out your turns.
You have your five turns in your head. And as long as nobody fucks with you too hard, each of those turns, it's like, all right, I know I'm going to do these five things in that order. And so you never should really need to stop and think unless something huge happens.
Correct.
But yeah, like you said, some people don't.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's me again? All right, well, let's see what happened while I was napping.
And I'm just like, how? And then when they're to your left and the guy to your right's not that way, you're just like, son of a bitch. Anyway, Zappity.
Trump versus Hillary, so Zappity. how do you fix Madrak 2?
I saw the article about that, or I saw the mention about that. It is somebody from Australia. So I listened to Clark and Daw, which is a comedic duo from Australia. They've been doing this for like the last 30 years or so. Their stuff about your government are hilarious.
I will, like, what this really boils down to is that Hillary is a politician. She's corrupt. She takes money from people. She gives special treatment to people in exchange for the money. She does all that stereotypical politician shit. You know, the Democratic National Party fucked over Bernie to make sure to give her an advantage, blah, blah, blah. She's a politician, and I get that. Trump is a racist, xenophobic, misogynistic sociopath with deep-seated mental issues who probably would nuke the planet a month into being president, and I'm not even fucking joking about that. So
vote third party and
derp, derp, derp,
derp, derp, derp.
I don't disagree with people who talk about how much they hate Hillary Clinton, or she's corrupt, or she put me in prison, and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. zombie mecha Hitler could be fucking running, and I would vote for him over Trump. He's danger to the planet.
You know, I'm actually kind of excited by the idea of zombie mecha Hitler now. That's actually, I would watch that movie.
Write it in. Start for Crippled System. Write in zombie mecha Hitler.
Yeah. They would just kind of a Trump.
I'm driving north. I was behind a car. And I'm sorry, it was a pickup truck, which you would have assumed 2 seconds from now. It had two bumper stickers, one which was for Trump and one was for Walker. And then I passed him, and the car in front of him had a Bernie or bus bumper sticker. So I'm like, oh my God, one of them's going to run the other one off the road soon.
It's reenact all of Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
So when you're in Madison, Madison's a beacon of obviously Democrats, and the state is, the rural is very Republican.
Yeah.
And like, what's funny to me is in Pokemon, like, Madison is very much team Mystic, which is blue.
Yeah.
And when you leave it, like I went to visit my mom, everywhere out of Madison, all I saw were like red Team Valor, Pokestop gyms. It was just funny that in Madison it's all blue, but even in Pokemon, the state's red. Outside of Madison. It's not related to politics at all, but yet still somehow we match the colors. And of course, yellow's going to be found because, you know, instinct can go, you know.
Hey,
we have 50%
of the Bob's Burgers.
The Bob's Burgers thing.
Anyway, Zappity Grumble.
How do you fix Magic 2? We already talked about briefly, and then it's Travis's birthday, so we can't talk about it for too long because he hates, you know.
Travis's birthday. I didn't write it on his wall yet.
Yeah, we didn't really say how to fix him because that's not our job.
Yeah, Travis promised that he would fix Magic 2 within the month.
Yeah, so we're fine. He's making a list for
everybody. Make sure you message Travis on the forums about how to fix him.
He loves private messages. If anyone wants, I'll give you his Gmail information, mm-hmm. his home address,
send
whatever you
tweet
want.
Mails.
Yeah, some tweets.
Tweet him.
He really enjoys that.
Google chat.
He promises everything.
Yeah.
He will provide a
Travis
lot of...
Travis says that he's talked to him at Gen Con. Make sure you talk to him directly at Gen Con about Madrak 2.
He said, I promise nothing will be overlooked in my quest to fix Madrak 2. Chat cut off part of that sentence, but that's what he said.
He's having chat problems all day.
He has been having chat problems all day.
He did actually put a period after nothing, though.
He said, yeah, but... That period, it denotes that nothing will be overlooked in his quest to fix Magic 2 by the end of the month.
Also, Travis, if you're mentioning that you're going to commit murder on a global chat, that's not good. Unless he planned on murder-suicide, I guess.
You know, it shows that he's a liar because he says, I promise nothing, and then the very next thing is, I'm going to kill everybody. Yeah. Well, that's a promise.
Yeah.
So you can't be promising nothing and promising to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Unless he means the nothingness of oblivion is what he promises to us, his victims.
Yeah. That's how he solves the Madrak 2 problem. He just kills you.
When there are no players left alive, Madrak 2 doesn't win games anymore.
Correct.
Well, see?
That sounds like a very Judge Death-ish reasoning.
Yeah.
Because only living commit crimes. Therefore, living must be a crime. So we must kill everything.
I support it. And then last one was, if you were a coupon, what would you be redeemed for?
With the what?
If you were a coupon, what would you be redeemed for?
Free back rubs.
Rage.
Did you just say it with a menacing, like, hand-wringing to free back rubs?
Won't be with my hand.
Right.
They're rubs.
Free conditioner, too.
they're free rubs, just, you know.
with his back.
Mm-hmm.
We need someday, Nathan. We have to have a rage off. We have to have plexiglass between us. Otherwise, it'll turn into like that scene from Kingsman.
Oh man, God, I wish that had been me.
We really
that's the fantasy right there. Like, I want a version of Penthouse Letters, but instead of Dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. And then he has sex with hot chicks. Yeah. I want him to just break the world. that's what I want.
Simple.
Just like tear a building in half.
That would be your coupon?
Rage.
Free torn building in half.
Rage was my coupon. You just tear it in half, and then I tear you in half. We have a sledgehammer at work, and every once in a while I take it out back and smash things.
There were a lot of injured employees that day.
I ground a pallet to dust. It was great.
Mine would be Freebeard. Because everybody is talking about it's like, oh, I wish I could grow a beard like you. Like, no, you can. You just don't fucking shave for 6 years.
There are some people who don't shave for 6 years and it doesn't turn into a beard.
It's got coconut in it. It's cherry.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Cherry and coconut and dark chocolate. That's like the best possible candy bar.
So that's our Zappity Grumbles.
My recommendations.
Was there anything on Twitter?
I don't know. I didn't look. You can look while I give my recommendations. I have a half-hearted one because it wasn't that bad. And then I have a good one, but I already said it. So the good one that I already said
was BoJack Horseman Season 3.
Was BoJack Horseman Season 3. Last week I said, spoiler, I'm going to recommend BoJack Horseman Season 3. I recommend BoJack Horseman Season 3. It wasn't quite as good as Season 2, but it was still damn solid. As always, the second to last episode, just, you know, laugh, riot. And then the other recommendation, I don't think anybody did, and it's because it's like, it's okay. And the new Star Trek wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It was all right. It was better than Into Darkness.
Was it a solid B+?
If Into Darkness is a B+, this has to be at least an A-, because it was way better than Into Darkness.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Didn't see it with me. Again,
as I mentioned before, instead of having to fight one giant ship, they have to fight a million little ships. They can't just have a fight against a ship. It has to be like some ridiculous thing. But the villain was interesting. I mean, I never
he had motivation and needed to be the villain it was, and unlike fucking Khan.
Yeah, exactly. They made progress in all those kind of elements.
The chick from Kingsman was in it. She was painted up like an alien.
Oh, that was
that was Gazelle from Kingsman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I knew I recognized her ass, and then I Googled it after the movie was over, and it was Gazelle.
It was a Googled, you know, Star Trek dead ass?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I was... Anyway, I held that one in.
Yeah, and this Tuesday, Raylene and I are going to go see the new Ghostbusters, which will probably also not be that bad.
I've heard it's fine.
I want to go see it Tuesday.
Huh?
I want to see it Tuesday.
We're going to go see it Tuesday. I'm going to play board games at Brian's house, and then after we're done playing Scythe, so about, you know, the whatever showing is near to 9 o'clock, we're going to go see.
Because I don't
try to plan 9:30. We got two new players, but yes.
Sure.
Because I don't work on Wednesday because I'm going to Gen Con.
Suicide Squad comes out this weekend, and I'm like, I'm at Gen Con, and I'm traveling and driving so much, I don't know when I'm going to see it. It's causing me like
never
stress.
Might be an acceptable answer.
Have Sunday you seen night. Ghostbusters yet?
I have not.
Do you want to go see on Tuesday?
I won't stay up that late. I work Wednesday.
That's right. You're not going to Gen Con.
I'm not to the weekend, yeah. So that's way too late for me.
We saw Star Trek at 11 o'clock last Tuesday, so we didn't get home until after 1 in the morning because every other showing was fucking sold out because it's $5 Tuesdays and people have caught on to that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing. I'm up at 5:30, so I can't be out till midnight.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I have to leave early because I have to drive to Milwaukee and take a ride down to Indianapolis.
To Con. All right. So, Jeff, what do you recommend?
Oh, I'm bad at this. Fallout 4 survival mode, because it's already been done.
God damn it!
I beat you to it?
No, you're like 3 weeks too late.
Yeah, I know. I've been living that game, though. It's a problem.
I'm in survival mode. I'm level like 26, 27. And I've like done nothing as far as like the main quest or any of the DLCs. And I'm starting to think I need to start over outside of it just so I can do all the DLCs and go back. Because I want to play like $400 of the survival mode. But
did you fix the robot glitch?
No, I'm going to try. The problem is the first DLC glitched for me, so I can't even do the robot missions. Oh. Which is annoying because part of the reason that I started over was to do the DLCs.
Yeah.
So the first DLC broke on me, so that sort of broke my motivation. But there's a patch. I'm going to go back to the same spot. If it's broke again, I may have to start over. The thing is, you only have three... Because the solution was, it doesn't work. Go to a previous save. You only have three autosave spots, you know, and it only keeps the last three.
Well, and you do save out of terror in that game, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, and even for other people, it's like, so I'll go back 2 to 10 hours and lose 2 to 10 hours of gameplay to fix my glitch, which is still kind of an annoying answer for people, but it's the only solution when it doesn't work. Because you have to fight these robots in this one spot, and for some reason, one of the robots just wanders off. So when you kill everything you see, but it's still like the person you need to talk to is like, kill all the robots. Like, well, there's no robots. Like, one wandered off to the... corners of the world.
Well, just go find them. It's just like in War Machine when that one last prey model runs into the corner.
Yeah.
On PC, you could probably bring up the console and like force them to teleport to you.
Exactly.
But on console, you can't do that.
Yeah. That was honestly the first time I wish I was sad I was playing. That was the first moment I was like, man, I wish I was playing this on the PC. That way I could have got around that.
Yeah.
Jeff got to watch me, I think yesterday or the day before, take the castle the first time.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
you got it on your first try?
Got it on my first try.
That fucking queen murdered the hell out of me, not even on
survival. Well, when you're super scared, though, you shoot her once and run away. Like, when you don't...
Yeah. She throws all that fucking gas. Yeah. Like,
The acid almost got me, though. Those my health was clouds. Down to, like, like a thumbnail.
It was. That's why I recommend. I recommend watching Andy in stressful situations in Fallout 4 survival mode because he will run in terror and flee and then come back for more.
When I get home, I need to double check if it has been too long. If my Twitch feed got deleted or if I can still export it to YouTube.
Oh, it's probably gone.
Don't you get a month?
It's usually 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, then it's gone. But I'll double check when I get home because that was fun.
The one I wish I would have saved as a video is yesterday. I was traveling to the boathouse, and there was a legendary Deathclaw.
Sure.
On the way there,
just make him your friend, and he'll follow you around.
That's did not what make I do. Him my friend, but no. I did shoot him. No. I did shoot him. He battled my dog. I shot him some more. Then he came up onto the hill I was at. I jumped off the hill, went around. He chased me. As he's chasing me, I'm turning around, just shooting him a couple times. I end up basically running in a circle around a tree with the Deathclaw following me, just turning and shooting. I ended up killing him.
Yeah, there you go. Just kite the guy.
But it was just me in the corner like, oh my God. Oh my God. I feel like I've gotten better at the game where I can actually handle a situation like that. Before, I would just die.
Sure.
It's just how it works.
See, the game was nice. You Super Mutants are really hard for quite a while. Then you kind of control them. Then they add in the Brutes. You're like, oh. It's like, oh, it's like just square one. Back to square one.
Or a Brute or a Behemoth?
Super. They start giving titles to all the Super Mutants. Because at some point you can handle them real easily. But then once you can handle the Brutes easily, then they give you another new title. Then eventually it's like... The
Overlords or whatever. Yeah.
It's like Raiders have like the Survivalists. Those are like the annoying Raiders. Like these start, or every group has like a special name for the next level of it.
I did battle a Behemoth wandering around. And that was not good.
Yeah.
That was me shooting it a bunch of times. And then him coming on the hill and then smacking me. You
tickled his health bar a little bit and then he...
I did decent damage to him. But...
I expected to fight a Behemoth the last time I played, and I didn't because I was walking through and I came across like Carhenge, you know, like Stonehenge made out of cars.
Yeah.
And in my normal mode, there's a Behemoth there, and in survival mode, I just ran right through. There's nobody there.
Really? Yeah. I killed the one in that henge in survival mode.
Yeah.
It was his lunch break.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, thank God, because I had just done a million quests and was trying to get back to Sanctuary to sleep. But yeah, you didn't show
up. I aggroed him once and just ran. I'm like, I was not at time, wasn't safe.
I love the mode. It is so good.
Survival mode is fun. Yeah. I'm just torn because I want to complete things, and it's like I've already put in you know the 300 hours into Fallout, and I want to play their game. So it's like I can put in probably 800 up another 400 hours to do these things. Or
well, yeah, you gotta get back to Witcher 3 and then
I have to do the DLC. I finally beat Witcher 3, but I have to do the DLCs.
See, I'm torn right now because there's a game that I've been waiting to come out forever, and it's eventually going to come out cross-platform, but right now it's in early access on the PC, so I could buy it and play it now on the
What's
PC.
It called?
No Man's Sky?
We Happy Few.
Yeah, I've heard that it's
early access, so it might be glitchy, and also I really want to play it on a console, but I'm intrigued as fuck by that game.
That seems more like a computer game than a console game, but that game, I saw it was out in early release, and the early releases don't... Early release games is the easiest way to not enjoy something.
Yeah,
I've learned that you just wait for the actual release. If you join, you're gonna have to deal with so many problems. It's just
you have to deal with problems, or you'll end up playing it and they'll end up resetting something. Then you'll have to play it again. You know, it's just kind of
yeah. Because I saw it came out, I got excited because I didn't realize it was early release, and I did some research and people were not very happy playing it. So I'm like, I'll just wait for it to come out.
I'm not entirely convinced that early releases aren't just that the new terminology for a beta test.
Yeah,
you know, because
the company gets some money. The problem is they do too good in the early release. They got their money, they lose motive. If they get what they wanted to get out of it, they lose motivation to.
I guess got lucky because Darkest Dungeon's the only game that I played in early release, and it, you know, was a very good experience all the way through. But
yeah,
I probably just got the one in a million.
Very few people are happy with early release times. It does work out occasionally.
Well, it gets rushed, you know. Apparently the same thing with like even some of the re-releases. The Marvel Ultimate Alliance releases are supposed to be buggy as all hell. Like,
yeah.
Catastrophically so.
Yeah.
Which is a point, because I was excited to play those.
I've read some of the reviews. I heard some of the audio reviews of it, though. Like, some of the big things, like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 was released on PC already, and the new version that they released doesn't even support controllers.
Oh, it supports them. It just doesn't connect the buttons to the right inputs.
Correct.
It says press A. You press the A button, it doesn't do anything. You press X, it does the same thing the A button should be doing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty terrible.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And your recommendation?
My recommendation, I don't really have one. Damn it. Fallout 4 survival mode.
That's alternate weeks for Andy. It's always a recommendation, then, oh, wait, I forgot we do recommendations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did mine at the beginning. I recommended Stranger Things.
No, I'm going to recommend...
It'll solve the problem.
Nope, Vice Presidents.
I'm going to start watching that soon. I just haven't got to it yet.
I haven't recommended... Or I haven't seen it yet, but it's looks amazing. It's already started.
Will you watch... You recommended iRobot off of one episode. Have you watched more?
iRobot or Mr. Robot?
Mr. Robot. You watched one episode.
I've watched one episode.
Mr. Robot's really good.
Yeah, season two is like two or three episodes in.
I'm recording season two. I've got that going, but yeah.
Nine Euclidean Nick has said that he only played Darkest Dungeon in the pre-release. They changed enough stuff with the launch that it's worth going back. There's like a new game plus mode, and there's a bunch of stuff that they changed, so it's worth doing. That's
sweet.
I just want to throw that out to respond to a foolish fool.
That you mentioned that No Man's Land or No Sky.
No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky.
That game looks intriguing to me. I just don't know if I have the time.
And it will exist, unlike that other game that was all just a massive embezzlement scheme.
Which one? Star Citizen?
Sure, yeah, yeah. The one where the wife keeps talking about how it's going to come out eventually while tweeting from the yachts that they keep buying.
No, well, no, Star
Those
Citizen.
Those are game development yachts.
Yeah.
Star Citizen is different than that game. Star Citizen, I think, is going to be a long time before it comes out.
That's it will never come out.
That's supposedly to be the Wing Commander of, the new Wing Commander.
We need a new Wing Commander game because I love the first person. So many of these games for space come out and they're always a third person's like flying in a spaceship. I want the first person like fighter element. That's the
reason why so many people have given literally, probably almost, maybe not literally billions, but hundreds of millions of dollars to the Star Citizen people to embezzle is because they desperately want that same thing.
Yeah, it's like, no one makes it. It's weird. You think someone would step up and be like, oh, people want this. I like money.
And you got lucky. In that you love Kickstarters and you want this thing. So the fact that the Star Citizen people don't have $100,000 of your money means you dodged a fucking bullet.
I almost never give Kickstarter video games money. And when I do, I actually give them very little. Because I understand how that's the one area of Kickstarter that fails more than anything else. Mm-hmm. I gave War Machine it, which it made it. It made it, the game came out. Yay. I backed, the only other one I backed, I did the Friday, the Jason one that's coming out.
Twilight Struggle.
Well, Twilight Struggle is an app, but I mean, it kind of was a video game. And then I also did the BattleTech one that raised a couple million dollars. But that had people, I had a lot of people behind it. And I'm like, I'll give that a little bit of money. But all those are pretty low on. I still give them.
From a quality control standpoint, a lot of those game designers can't be held accountable to Kickstarter funding. It really degrades.
Well, but
the
you
quality.
Always read the review how you see people get the money, and then they just these game designers make such terrible decisions with that money. They leave these things out. They just like, I got all this money, so I hired 55 people to help me, but that was broken 2 weeks. I had to pay 55 people.
Well, Tim Schafer, Double Fine, the big thing that happened with them was he did a Kickstarter for a game that should only have cost like $40,000, and then everybody wanted more shit from Tim Schafer, so they gave him like $400,000. He's like, well, I better up the ante of this game, and then he increased everything he was doing, but the new budget was like $4 million, so all of a sudden he was broke and the game never came out.
Correct. I mean, that goes the same thing with like Mighty No. 9 itself. That game got a ton of money from people all looking for the Mega Man sequel or the Mega Man, this is the new one. Yeah. And that game was basically a pile of shit when it came out.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. What about the Symphony of the Night style one?
It's not out yet.
I'm not out yet, but
cross my fingers it's going to be good because I want another Symphony of the Night.
In some of the video game ones, it's like when the game comes out, it's just going to be the game. There's not a lot of Kickstarter exclusives. Like a lot of the Kickstarter exclusives sometimes is some visual stuff, which is okay. Like which me and John didn't do for the MechWarrior one, and we both regret it almost a little bit, is we didn't get like the flight jacket option, which has nothing to do with the game, just kind of a cool MechWarrior flight jacket, which is cool because like with board games, what I hate is sometimes you get so many exclusives that like if I wanted to get a game as a board game and I don't get it at Kickstarter, I'm going to miss sometimes 25-50% of content, and I would never buy that game knowing that I'm going to get only half of what exists.
Yeah. Speaking of which, October.
Yeah, we're gonna get our coin engineering is a coin, but with the video, what I see with most of the video games, almost all the video games, you just get 100% whether you Kickstarter or whether you don't. If you Kickstarter, you get early access, you get some forums,
maybe an art book or something,
an art book. You get all this shit, and that's fine, but I don't care. It doesn't ruin my. But if I know that if I buy this product and I'm not going to get some element because of Kickstarter, I never buy it. Either I Kickstarter or I ignore it.
The only time I saw that happen and it just seemed like the worst thing, like they just fucking can't do it, was It was a SOCOM game. If you pre-ordered it, It wasn't Kickstarter, but if you like pre-ordered SOCOM 7 or some version of SOCOM, you got your weapons in multiplayer mode did like 5% more damage.
Yeah.
Why?
And that's fucking terrible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, why would I ever buy the game if I wasn't one of the people who pre-ordered it?
Well, it's like the start, yeah. Like, they have Star Wars X-Wing, or X-Wing, you know, from Fantasy Flight, and then the Star Trek guys had it where if you win a tournament, you got a special die that had an extra hit on it.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I play that game? Because if I play against them with a tournament, they literally have better dice than me.
Well, yeah. that was the problem with Monster Apocalypse back in the day, too, is if you got exclusive minis if you won the tournament.
You got the Shadowmingers. Yeah. At least there, the winner got one, and you haven't have to get them a random. Yeah, but exactly, there were better models because they had like stealth built in stealth or other things.
Yeah, hypothetically, those models were supposed to be alternate, not necessarily just better. Whereas the die, and you can argue balance wise that they weren't, you know, if some of them were better, and that's probably true, but the Star Trek die is just blatantly.
Yeah,
it's strictly better.
Yeah, this die has got 2 sixes on it. Yay!
And I heard the game was like more mechanically better, but as soon as I heard that there was better dice for the winners, I'm like, well, I mean, that just snowballs the winners. I'll keep winning. Now, you can only use one die per set, but you still had a better die.
One is more than zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a mathematical advantage you have.
The Castlevania starter, I've seen footage and reviews. They had like a small kind of like one-level demo that they had of it. And then pretty much everything was really positive for that demo.
And they've already showed off demos for the Friday the 13th game, which will be fun.
Yeah. There is a Friday the 13th game that I really want to try playing if we would all get together on Steam to play it.
That's another early access game. I watch people play it.
$20.
Yeah, but it's early access.
But it's $20.
I know, but I mean, I'm just saying. I've seen it's only one level. It's very much it's the same concept. You play a killer.
It's three levels with three different killers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still early access. I will probably get it when it comes out, but I will avoid the early access.
Oh, I've seen a lot of people posting videos on YouTube and that. I would like to play it. I think it would be fun with our group.
Yeah. All right, we've all recommended things.
Hooray us! I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna play Heroes of the Storm. I'll probably play Zagara because fuck yeah, Zagara.
I kind of want to do that, but I kind of watched the season finale of Preacher. We're going to do both at the same time.
Choices
are hard.
All right.
So am I.
Thanks, folks.
Bye-bye.
We love you.
I miss you already, Travis. And Torch.
Shut up, Jeff. You're not even saying goodbye?
That's rude. No. Sorry. Goodbye, everybody.
Jeez.